Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Jill Kaufman. 18 states and the District of Columbia, led by Massachusetts Attorney General Maura Healey, have filed suit against U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos and the Department of Education that she leads. The suit alleges that DeVos illegally delayed protections for students who were cheated by colleges that acted fraudulently. The AG joins us now by phone. Attorney General Healey, great to have you back on Radio Boston. Tell us why you're bringing this lawsuit.
Well, it's great to be with you. For the last few years, my office and other offices have investigated and worked to shut down the worst of these actors, these predatory for-profit schools. And in addition to that, we also worked very closely over the last 2 years with the Department of Education to develop a rule that would be in place to make sure that students and taxpayers are treated fairly. This is the borrower defense rule that was supposed to go into effect July 1st. And the borrower defense rule basically says that if schools cheat students, then the federal government is not going to continue to make it easy for them to access federal loan dollars. It also says that if schools are breaking the law and harming students by lying about job placement, graduation, or default rates, for example, then students who've been the victim of those unfair predatory practices could apply for relief from unaffordable loans, and that the state was going to have law enforcement authority to help those students get discharges of those loans. What Betsy DeVos did is pull the rug out from under us with no notice and announced that she was going to delay that rule that had been carefully crafted and worked on for the last 2 years. And what she did was illegal. It violates the Administrative Procedures Act. And more importantly, it's unfair. It makes no sense. Unfortunately, though, we have a Secretary of Education and Betsy DeVos who's more interested in protecting the executives of for-profit schools than actually protecting the students whose responsibility is that her office takes care of. And that's what's happened, and that's why the states, there were 19 of us in all, filed the lawsuit that we filed today to keep that from happening. We want to see the law implemented, the rule implemented, so that students can have access to the relief that they're due.
Have you seen anything, and do you expect that it will be completely counter or somewhat counter to what you created under the Barack Obama administration?
Well, delay just means, in our view, deny. Delay is another way of them canceling the rule effectively. We think that that's what they plan to do. And So a delay basically is tantamount to canceling of a rule, and it's just simply not the right course, and it violates the law for the Secretary of Education to do this. And so this is why we've sued. The loans we're talking about, they are loans that are sizable. We're talking about tens of thousands, in some instances, hundreds of thousands of dollars that students owe. And we know through our investigations and cases that for far too long there's been an open spigot, and these for-profit schools have been able to access federal loan dollars on the backs of vulnerable students by specifically targeting them and marketing them through high-pressure sales tactics.
You mean to take out loans that they can't afford?
They shouldn't afford for programs that simply don't bear out. Many of these schools spend 90% of their dollars marketing to students, and they offer them the promise of great jobs, great careers, when our investigations have showed that they've actually lied about the kinds of internships and jobs available to students. They've lied about the kinds of courses and the caliber of teachers available to these students. And in some instances, we've seen some of these schools simply go bankrupt, belly up, and leave these students high and dry, stuck with
paying
significant
off
debt.
Loans, so, right. Is there any other time that you know of that a state attorney general's office or a group of states have sued the Department of Education?
I'm not sure in recent history that I'm aware of a case, but this is a very important case to bring. I mean, just yesterday, my office announced a new settlement with DeVry University, which is an online for-profit school, for close to $500,000. And it's just one of a string of cases we've brought against these for-profit colleges. And this rule that the Department of Ed was supposed to implement goes directly to preventing those kinds of fraud and abuse that we've seen. And so, you know, it's all the more distressing that we see now the Department of Ed backing out from its obligation to implement this rule.
Right. So, can you talk about what your sense is of the Department of Ed's justification for the suspension of the rules? And Betsy DeVos has said, I believe, that it's necessary to suspend the Obama administration's rules on these loans because of a lawsuit by a group of not-for-profit colleges in California that were trying to block the rules.
Well, unfortunately, it's just, I think, symptomatic of where the agency is in terms of its priorities. Its priorities are not with students. Its priorities seem to be with private interests that stand to profit through education. And, you know, Betsy DeVos does not seem to be acting in the interest of students by taking such an action. And what we saw with her pulling out of this rule, or trying to, is really an effort to pull the rug out from students. I'm not surprised on some level, because it's simply followed a pattern of this administration, an administration that's chosen to side repeatedly with for-profit interests over the interests of students. And, you know, I view it simply as a betrayal of the responsibility of the Department of Education, and a betrayal of millions of students and families across this country. And that's why my office, joined by 18 other states, has sued and taken this action today, because we need to stand up for our students and we need to enforce the law. And what they've done is not just a violation of the law, because you simply can't buy a two-page notice without any time for comment or anything else, pull the rug out from under everyone. A rule is all set to be implemented after a thorough process.
Let's talk about another ruling. It's a different from a courthouse. Last Monday, a judge in Western Mass, it was Judge Richard Carey, he accused two former state prosecutors of misconduct in connection with the Sonia Farrick case, and she, who stole and used drugs in Amherst, Massachusetts, at the state lab there. She was supposed to be testing these drugs. She ended up using them. Martha Coakley was then attorney general. But has your office reviewed the judge's decision, and did you have any knowledge of what he is alleging?
I can give you a little bit more background on that. The decision that came down is one that we're still reviewing. It involved a case that came in under a prior administration and involved questions about the operation of a lab in Western Mass. In addition, in the course of that, the judge made findings with respect to the conduct of former assistant attorneys general, and we're reviewing that decision right now.
So the prosecutor's job is one that's particular, and it is to get these convictions. I mean, as much as anybody is to clear somebody, you know, the defense is to clear. When prosecutors, if they willfully withhold information from the defense, it's known, as you know well, as the Brady violation. This is seen as a common reason for convictions to be overturned. Do you think that this is a problem within the courts here, within the former AG's office?
No, I don't. I don't. We disagree with the court's characterization with respect to this particular matter. But, you know, from my perspective, there's nothing more important than ensuring the integrity of the process and making sure that everybody, prosecutors included, play by the rules. And that's certainly what I expect and have seen out of my office and other offices. When there are instances or there are questions raised, they need to be addressed. And if the wrong steps were taken or the wrong actions were taken, then that needs to be addressed. But from a law enforcement perspective, it is really important that that the public be able to trust in the integrity of the process. And in fact, the whole system relies on the integrity of the process and everybody doing their job.
Have you spoken in your review of the judge's decision to Martha Coakley?
No.
Will you be contacting her?
No. No, we'll review the decision and, you know, handle it as we would any matter.
And is there concern how it reflects on her office or on the AG's office overall?
No, not in my view. It again, this is a particular matter where a judge made a particular ruling with respect to a particular issue that was raised in the context of a broader case, which was about the conduct of Sonia Farak, the chemist who was conducting work at a lab then operated by the State Department of Public Health, now operated by the Massachusetts State Police. So this involves work from years earlier, and the important thing right now is that the right operations are in place, the right practices are in place. That needs to happen for the sake of criminal defendants, for the sake of our prosecutors, for the sake of our courts and the integrity of the system. And that's certainly something that I'll continue to, as Attorney General, work with all federal partners and state partners and local partners to ensure along every step of the way.
And I wonder about those local partners like the district attorneys or the law enforcement in the various places where people, defendants, are being let out of jail, like the few who were let out in Western Mass. So the fallout, the bigger picture, or another picture, is from the Farak case and Annie Dukan's case, who was another chemist who was involved in tainting evidence that convicted thousands, potentially, of people. There are defendants who could walk away who were wrongly convicted, and there are other defendants who will be let out of jail who should still be in jail. Is your office working with the courts, with the district attorneys around the state, in some plan to address what the fallout is going to be in probably the years ahead?
Well, we're going to have to see exactly what the scope of this is. At this point, we certainly will continue to work with our partners in government to make sure that the right steps are taken with respect to any cases that are out there or cases that may have gone through this lab.
I want to ask you finally about President Trump's travel ban. You were an early and vocal challenger of the ban. You've consistently fought back against anything revised or otherwise, calling his travel bans discriminatory and undermining the rule of the law. So last week, the Supreme Court partially reinstated President Trump's travel ban, and portions of it went into effect already. What is your take on the court decision, and what is next from your office?
Well, importantly, what the court left in place was a significant part of the ban, the stay, I should say, of the ban. And, you know, we're going to continue to be involved in this matter. It's going now before the Supreme Court, so we'll work with other states and be submitting briefs shortly to the Supreme Court so that it can take it up this fall.
Okay, Attorney General Maura Healey, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a great pleasure to speak with you.
Okay, nice speaking with you.
Take care.